Greatness. Greatness. Samuel Adeyemi is the senior pastor of Daystar Christian Center, a fastest-growing, life-changing church committed to raising role models based in Lagos. He is also the president of Success Power International, an NGO that, amongst other things, specializes in organizing financial, leadership, and motivational seminars, and is president of Daystar Leadership Academy, a leadership school for business owners and ministers of the gospel. He is a dynamic pastor, teacher, and motivational speaker, and a host of the popular program Success Power, which airs on radio and television stations within and outside Nigeria. He is passionate about teaching success, leadership, and financial principles through seminars and the media. He is much sought after as a speaker, both nationally and internationally. His teachings have motivated, encouraged, and spurred on loads of people to start on and advance their businesses. He's one of the few championing the cause for a new Nigeria and the reformation of the African continent as a whole. He has authored several books, including the best-selling Parable of Dollars and Success is Who You Are. Others include Ideas Rule the World, Start with What You Have, Second Revolution, Multiplying Your Success, Lead, and his latest addition, Nigeria of My Dreams, Generation Z Plus, and We Are the Government. Ladies and gentlemen, join us as we welcome Pastor Sam Adeyemi to Global Impact Church.
Okay, if you're the happiest person here, give Jesus a big shout. All right. Please let's have a seat. Wow, wow, wow. Awesome, awesome. So happy to be here. Wow. So happy to see Shubomi. The picture tells the story. Says everything. It's just that. The me there. It was very local. Those suits had challenges. I said, well, like, stop talking. Stop. Yeah, we call those ones coats and mantu. The pictures tell the stories. We thank God that we've come this far. You know, it's just amazing. God's grace is real. Real. And I don't know who that is for. For someone, that's the whole message today. Because that's what this service is about. The word God put in my heart is evolution. I came to announce a new season. And Pastor Yemi was saying it. I'm telling you, it's a shift. It's a new season for someone. It's a new beginning for someone. Somebody's old season just expired. Existing at a particular level expired. And there's a new evolution. And Jesus said, John 12:24, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, he said, it brings forth much fruit. So that's the kind of transformation coming in somebody's life. And that's why it's an evolution. It's not arithmetic progression. It's not a it's total. It's what is about to be has not existed before. Okay, so for someone, it's a death and resurrection experience. So it's the much fruit experience. So things are coming into existence that have never existed before in your life. That's what this is about. So I'm just so excited to see Pastor Yemi and Pastor Bimbo. I love them passionately, love them endlessly. And Pastor Nick sends her love too, you know. Love them. Oh, congratulations on your graduation. We've not seen since then. We only communicated on social media. So proud of you. Awesome. So we thank God for how far he's brought us and how far he's helped us. And I'm excited to see Pastor Bolaji too. I call him the youngest, richest pastor in town. You will manage it. Awesome. So we're grateful for what God is doing with our spiritual tribe. I know the events of the last 1 week have rocked many of us, but if you look at it in the larger picture, it's just a continuum. We had the tight debate. It just looks like things have been coming to rock the church. And some people are so concerned, let's try and manage this thing. Let's try and manage so that it will not affect the whole of the body of Christ. It's going to affect everybody. And they say, calm down. Calm down. Church that has been there for 2,000 years, nobody could destroy it. Said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, so when these earthquakes or tremors or whatever they were started on social media, I had to pray. I had to step back a little bit, pray. Because, you know, the interesting thing, sometimes you don't recognize the answer to your prayer when it shows up. You know, it happened in Acts of the Apostles. They were praying for Peter to be released. And Peter showed up at the door. And they said, it cannot be him. So, I said, so what were you praying for? So I was asking the Lord, what is all this about? He said, well, it's the Matthew 7, Luke 6 scenario. Anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, it's like a wise man that dug deep, found a rock, and built his house on it. He said, and the rain fell, the wind blew, and the floods came and beat vehemently on that house. He said, the house stood. He said, the one that hears these things of mine but does not do them is like the foolish man that built his house on the sand. The same weather elements came, beat hard on the house. He said, it collapsed. And great was its collapse. So the Holy Spirit said to me, you're just seeing the beginning. He said, the rain is going to fall. The wind is going to blow on the church in Nigeria. He said, the flood is going to come big time. He said, everything you build on what I sent you to build will stand. He said, but all those things that you people added, he said, the floods will carry them away. He said, and it's going to be very muddy. So I knew there was going to be a lot of mud. In Yoruba, we call it poto poto. So I'm not bothered. It's fine. He says, we'll come out, the church will come out glorious. Amen. When all the extras have been removed. So I'm not bothered. I pay attention to everything that is being said, everything that is being done. If God can't find good people, okay, the people that are supposed to say something, if they won't say it, God will raise somebody else to say it. You know, Jesus said it. But if these people won't praise God, won't praise me, he said, God can raise stones, even stones. Good. So it's just that some people may not say it in a nice way because they are angry about something else. But what has to be said will be said. Okay, so it's a time just to be humble, to reflect, to be prayerful, you know, and to just find out what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. Amen. And to just follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're going to come out stronger. Amen. And for someone, it begins today. Amen. So we're recharging, right? Recharging. Good. I'm going to make it brief. Because my job here today is to prophesy. My job is to describe what I'm seeing. It's to announce the next level for someone. That's my business. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I know something about batteries running flat. Yeah, I know something about a car battery, especially running flat. Because when I was a teenager, my dad's car battery would run flat. You know, when you wake up in the morning, tries to start the car, and it doesn't start. My dad used to carry me around town. When he was going out, either for a meeting or for visitation, he used to just carry me around. Once he said, "Let's go out," I knew what it was about, to push the car. He would park. He would just find where there was some slight slope, park the car there. Once we got out, I developed some small muscles pushing the Audi car. So I know something about batteries running flat. Our spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, material, and financial resources are finite. They're limited. And they have the potential to run out. We have the potential to run out of spiritual resources, to run out of emotional resources, to run out of energy. That's the potential is always there. A business can run out of opportunities, can run out of cash. A marriage can run out of love. And especially when we have critical negative circumstances, they tend to make massive withdrawals on our resources. Massive withdrawals on our resources. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, you have that kind of a scenario. David was a very courageous fighter. His troops, very courageous and highly skilled soldiers. But in 1 Samuel 30, when they went out on a raid, they came back to Ziklag where they were living, and somebody else had raided their own town, burnt the city down, and took all of their family members away and all their goods. As courageous as these men were, they broke down. They moved from, you know, they came back in celebration mood because they actually had gotten a lot of goods from the cities they raided. They broke down. The atmosphere changed. They were drained of resources, drained of strength. The Bible says that they wept through the night and that they wept so much until they had no more power to weep. They were just looking at themselves. I wish it was recorded on video. I would like to see how soldiers cry. They ran out of courage, ran out of strength. Sometimes for someone, it's the loss of a job. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one that makes such a heavy withdrawal. For some, it may be delay of some sort. Just gradually ebbs, you know, at our strength, at our courage to carry on until eventually we have no more strength left. So 1 Samuel 30 verses 1 to 4, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, took captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So perhaps there's someone here who's run out of gas, run out of resources, run out of strength. It's your day. Yeah. In Psalm 42 verse 5, the psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So it's NYSC until you reconnect to the power source. Who knows the meaning of NYSC? National Youth Service Corps. What else do people call it? Now your suffering continues. Okay, so The suffering continues until we can connect the battery back to a power source. So just a few bits or pieces of advice. Number one, if you're running out of strength, take a break. Take a break. Don't run your gas on empty. You see, that's the challenge sometimes, that it's when we should go for a refill that we want to try more. We want to struggle more. We're now desperate. Take a break and refill your tank. That's why it's so beautiful that all of us are here today. Don't run your tank on empty. The signs are there. You're becoming irritable. You're becoming anxious. The things that would not bother you before are bothering you now. Your mind is occupied. You're even finding it difficult to hear from God. You're losing the desire for prayer. You're losing your appetite for the word of God. Take a break. Listen, you are not God. You're not designed to run endlessly like that. Your resources are not infinite. It is God that does not slumber or sleep. You are designed to slumber. Take a break. Okay? Take a break. Don't be carried away. You know, and it's not even only when you're running on empty or close to empty that you should take a break. You should actually take a break when your gas is just a little less than full. Even when things are working for you, learn to take a break. Just so you don't move towards that empty space. Take a break. The disciples of Jesus were excited in Mark chapter 6 when he sent them out to preach. By the time they came back, a crowd came with them. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, and so on. They were coming in. Jesus said to them, come apart and rest a while. You are not God. You will soon run out of resources. Your resources are not infinite. Walk a break into your schedule. The principle of the Sabbath is still there. It's just that if you break it now, nobody will stone you. In the Old Testament, they stoned you. Rest by force in your house. But personally, you need to work that into your schedule. Take a break. In the course of a day, take a break. We have different constitutions. Understand how your own system works. When you get to that point where you're trying to pull it together. I speak so many times. This is the second time I'm speaking today. And I'm still going to take a service in the evening. 3 times in a day. And I can't just show up. You know, people think, you're anointed. Just stand up, hold the microphone, and the thing will just flow. If you run your life like that, you will soon run out of what to say. Because you're taking the grace of God for granted. So I have to prepare. Got to provide the spaces. Provide the spaces. Some people say to me, sir, just even if it's just 15 minutes, sir, if just come, even if it's just 15, I said, to you, it's just to me. It is not just. You did not even factor my travel time. Won't I get into traffic? But the more important part is the message. And it's not so much about reading the book and copying what is there. Or going on Google and copying what is there. It's about hearing what God wants to say to people. So I've got to hang there. So, take a break once in a while. All right? Take a break. Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your power source. So, having seen batteries run down many times, I have also seen batteries jumped. There's something called jumping a battery. You bring a car that has a battery that is fully powered, and then you connect cables from that to the battery that is run down. You start, it will start. You can jump a battery. See, and that's the point. The Holy Spirit jumps your battery. He can put more power in there. Amen. So, You need to spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, the exciting thing about life, the most powerful thing about life are very simple. They just need consistency. What's complicated about spending time with the Holy Spirit? Sometimes, maybe the problem for us is that we're too mechanical in our Christianity, too technical. When we teach prayer, we teach it like from a technical point of view. You know, I was thinking about it some days ago, and I come to think of it, sometimes we even specify how long somebody should pray. If you are really praying well, you should pray at least 1 hour. You should pray 2 hours. And I say, calm down. Calm down. You are taking this thing too seriously. Calm down. Is prayer not supposed to be communication with my daddy? I don't know about you, but I've never specified how long my children should discuss with me per day. If a relationship is there, we will discuss. It's a loving relationship. Did I hear you say amen? So when you read that Jesus went on the mountain in Matthew 14 and he continued all night in prayer, it is not because they measured how long he should pray for him. It is because he was enjoying the fellowship. Because when he came down, he even had a choice. Should I disappear and appear on the other side? So he decided to walk on the water. You can't hang around God, have him jump your battery like that, and not come back with power. Did I hear you say amen? You hear what he said? John 5:19. He said the Son can do nothing by himself except what he sees the Father doing. He said, for the Father loves the Son and shows him whatever he himself is doing. His prayer life must have been exciting. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. He said, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So Jesus used to see miracles. He used to see signs. Before he got on the crusade ground, he saw the blind eye opening, before the blind eye opened in the physical. He said, the Father shows me whatever he himself is doing. You will see beautiful things. Okay, so if that is what is going on while you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, why would you want to live there? You're seeing miracles. You're seeing signs. You're seeing the next level. Okay? So, spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Spend time. Let him jump your battery. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So I love the scenario in Acts chapter 2, and I pray that today that is what it will be for someone here. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were gathered together in one place. It said, and there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the place where they were sitting. And there appeared tongues of fire. It sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You fellowship with people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to renew your strength. Your environment matters. There are environments that drain energy from you. You need to identify them. There are environments where you draw power. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel told Saul, after anointing him, as you move from here, your association is going to change. He said, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from the hill of God. Let me read it. 1 Samuel 10, verses 5 and 6. He said, after that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And what will happen? And be turned into another man. You want to recharge your battery? Go hang around anointed people. Hang around people that have their battery in full power. Power will jump on you. Saul was doing things he had never done before. Prophesying. To the extent that people came around and they were asking, is Saul also among the prophets? If it's your first time of attending a service like this, you will have an amazing experience today. You will go back different. Something which even you will know something changed, because you will go back and you would not be able to forget this service. But then you will notice your mind will begin to work differently from now. You will be getting ideas you did not get before. You will dream in the night. You will see things you did not see before. Why? It's a new you. He said you will be turned into another man. I attended a service like that, December 1984. It was such an anointed service. Such an anointed service. And the man of God taught the word. I sat down there thinking, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. 1st January 1985, I started from Genesis 1. I said I was going to read the Bible through. I'd never done it in my life before. But I had these people sharing the Bible, quoting the scriptures. And said, I'm going to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I started January and I finished in September. It was a new me. Since then till now, there are only a few years that I've skipped. Maybe when the Holy Spirit said I should focus only on the New Testament. I have read the Bible through every year. Since then, I became another man altogether. So there's someone here today. It's a total transformation for you from here. Total transformation. The company matters. If you sit down where they're gossiping, sit down where they're running other people down, that doesn't charge your battery. That doesn't charge your battery. Okay? Be careful what you do with social media, because you're associating with people there. You know, friendship has been redefined. So there are friends you see, there are the ones you don't see. I leverage the internet to inspire myself. I leverage the internet to inspire myself. I'm telling you, sometimes I have a Holy Ghost meeting all by myself. Maybe I'm in a hotel or something, preaching somewhere around the world. And I just a song comes to me by inspiration. I just go online, find the song, play it. And I sing and dance all by myself there. Soaked with the anointing, battery charged, ready for next level. So be careful about your association. When you come into a company of people like this, the anointing on them will jump on you. You find yourself doing things you did not have capacity to do before. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Number three, change your attitude. Change your attitude. Yes, there's work that the Holy Spirit needs to do, but you have your own part to play. Change your attitude. That was the turning point in this story. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The King James Version says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amazing. That's leadership. The man that could exercise control over his attitude. You may not be able to change the circumstances, but you can change your thinking. You may not be able to change the situation, but you can change your emotions. And God is just so awesome and so wise. Yes, you may not be able to change the weather. You may not be able to change the board decision. You may not be able to change somebody else's attitude. But he gave you control over your own thoughts. And then said that as you alter your thoughts, he will alter your circumstances. It's amazing the way it works. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. David made a switch. As long as they were on that frequency of crying and complaining and mourning, the only revelations they got were bad revelations, satanically inspired. The Bible said that the men spoke of stoning him. That's the revelation they got. They wanted to kill the man God was using to sustain them. That's the revelation they got. And David switched. You want to know how to switch from a negative to a positive attitude? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God. So that's it. You moved there from anxiety to peace. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. And then he now specifies in verse 8 the things that you should think about. Fight your mental battles. The mind is the real battleground. Fight those negative emotions. Shake them off. Shout all by yourself. Shout your hallelujah all by yourself. Play the music. Worship God. Defy your circumstances. Praise is the language of faith. Dare your circumstances. Believe what God said. Do it until you feel it. Do it until you feel it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. All the days of the afflicted are evil. As long as you are, listen, you know, your emotions work like electricity. And electricity creates magnetism or creates magnetic fields. You allow the negative emotions to run, you attract negative opportunities, negative people, everything is negative. You have to change that emotion. All the days of the afflicted are evil. He that is of a merry heart will have a continual feast. So I tell people, it's not because things are bad that you are sad. It's because you are sad. That's why things are bad. Fight those negative thoughts. Fight those negative thoughts. Sing all by yourself. Dance all by yourself. Remind yourself what God said to you. And hold on to that. Abraham was praising God in barrenness until the promise came into manifestation. Okay? So the moment David switched, then an idea just occurred to him. He said, bring the ephod, bring the ephod. Lord, should I pursue them? Will I recover all? Revelation came straight. You shall pursue them and overtake them, and without fail, you will recover all. Why should you maintain a positive attitude? Because in the first place, things are not as bad as they seem. In the midst of all that negative scenario, it's when you read the passage closely that you will see that when these guys attacked Ziklag, the Bible says they did not kill anyone. What you look for is what you will find. If you're looking for what is not working, you will see loads of that. If you're looking for what the devil is doing, because some people are just saying, the devil, you just listen to what they're saying. If you see what the devil is doing, the devil, I say, who you look for is what you will find. If you're looking for the devil, plenty. You will see the devil everywhere. You look for God, you will find him. Genesis 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The potential for the light was in the darkness. Yeah. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. He said, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. As chaotic and as dark as it was, Holy Spirit was there. As confusing as your situation may be, God is there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. I walk through the valley. He is there. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. The beautiful thing about that valley, actually, is that it is the valley of the shadow. Not the valley of death, though. Shadow. Shadow. I'm telling you. What's running some people crazy is just shadow. And someone said the shadow of a dog never beat anybody. It's your shadow. It looks like, see, it is not it. There's nothing. That's why you should maintain your calm and just continue your rejoicing. Stay on the frequency of praise. It's not as bad as it seems. If they had killed everybody in Ziklag, there would have been nobody to recover. It's not as bad as it seems. Your negative attitude is what will create the real problem. One of the most profound statements I read that transformed my life many years ago is attitudes are more important than facts. It always almost turned my head because it did not make sense. Attitudes are more important than facts. And that's just a contemporary way to explain faith. Attitudes are more... what you think and how you feel is more important than what is going on. Because ultimately what is going on will change to agree with what you are thinking and feeling. So change your attitude. You want God to recharge your battery, fire you up. Change your attitude. Finally, don't forget to clarify your motive. Don't forget to clarify your motive. So you want fresh anointing. You want fresh power in your battery. Why? Why? Why do you want more power? Why do you want success on a new dimension? Why do you want a breakthrough? That's always important to God. What do you want to do with the success? What do you want to do with the money? What do you want to do with the breakthrough? Okay? Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. James 4:3 says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own loss, in King James, or spend it upon your own pleasures. We say, come for anointing service. The place is packed out. I ask people, what do you want to do with the anointing? Because I'm suspecting it's because you want a better job. I'm suspecting it's because you want to buy a new car. You want to get a husband. You're going to get a wife. And I say, sorry, it does not work that way. That's why instead of breaking through, you are breaking down. It says your motive is selfish. It's not about God's plans and purposes. And God's plans and purposes have to do with other people. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What value are you going to add to people? Of what use will your battery be? Your powered battery. Of what use will it be to other people? It's to light up the world. Jump other people's batteries. Amen. Get their cars functioning and their equipment, get their lives working. That's the purpose of the theme. Proverbs 11:24 says, there's one that scatters and yet increases. There's one that withholds more than is necessary. It still results in what? Poverty. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters others will be watered also himself. It's been predicted that in the last days, people will become more selfish, more self-centered. So you have to watch out for that. Because you consume too much of the material, the information that is out there, you just find out they'll create fear, create panic for you. You won't see things clearly anymore. And then you now just be working for me. You'll be working for you. It's not about you. I tell people your life is too small to be the purpose of your life. God invested so much in your life. It's too much for you to expend on yourself. Turn the attention away from yourself. Focus it on other people. That's the essence of everything. So if you want to recharge, you want fresh power, we have to ask for what? Heaven is asking, what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with the power? What do you want to do with the next level of finances? Once you get it right, your own motives align with God's plans and purposes. Remember Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are what? Who are the called according to his purpose. You'll be amazed how God's grace will be working on your behalf. There's someone here, as you are here right now, and the power of God is coming on you. Your name and your face is coming up on somebody's mind somewhere. It's the way the anointing works. It's grace. If there is anything you struggled over before you came here today, the one beautiful sign you will see in the second half of this year is that without struggling, those things will happen. Yeah. Doors of opportunity will open for you. Yeah. You will be amazed. You will become a spectator in your own life. Yeah. You'll be wondering, This is amazing. How did this work? How did this work? How did this work? It's amazing. I have just loads of those experiences. I'm excited. Loads of those experiences. Things just work out. Even people see me and say, "Oh, you're so humble." You say, "It's amazing, you know. How can somebody be so powerful and so humble?" Humility is common sense in this scenario. Everything you think makes me special, I struggled to get before and could not get. I struggled to travel abroad, struggled to get visa, I could not get. They stamped my passport, stamped. British High Commission. God bless them. So I collected refusals like that from British High Commission, U.S. Embassy, the Embassy of the Netherlands. Even Kenya Embassy refused my application once. That one broke my heart. It was a group of us about to go to Kenya. We filled the forms. They took our forms there. They brought the passports back and said, "Sorry, you are the only one they did not give." I said, "Kenya." No. Kishoju Lasson is this not? It's not ordinary. What is it? It's amazing. It's amazing. Pastor Nikki and I were visiting Trinidad and Tobago 2 years ago. And they said, okay, we had to apply for visa, okay, to come. So I was wondering, okay, how do we go about it? Should we apply in the U.S.? Should we apply in Nigeria? When the person that organized our going called me on the phone and said, "Sir, they said they were holding a meeting somewhere. There was a bishop that was in attendance. When he heard that you needed to apply for visa, he said, 'Pastor Sam is coming. And Pastor Nike,' he said, 'Please get me their passport data pages.'" When they sent the pastor data pages, he wrote a letter to the president, introducing, describing to him these people that are coming. They are coming to add massive value to this country. So please, I want to request that you waive the visa thing. Let them collect their visa on arrival. So once we landed, we got on the immigration crew. An immigration staff just came, pulled us up. They said, "Are you at the airport?" He said, just pulled us off the queue and took us straight to our own special boat. Okay? And then something interesting happened there. So when we stood there and the person was asking, obviously, a senior officer just came, and asked him to please stand up that he was taking over. So he had not been. There was somebody specially briefed to do the job. So they excused the guy. This person took over and said, "Just pay the visa, just go to that booth, pay the visa on arrival fee and come back to me." He processed everything, stamped the visa, and we got, express passage into the country and said, Okay, so should I confess what the difference was between the refusal at the British High Commission and this one? Should I be honest? No, I won't tell you. I will be revealing my secret. Okay. Small. I should just say small. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that time when I got refusals, or one of those times when I got the refusal from the British High Commission, Pastor Nike was asking me, "So how long are you going to be gone for?" I said, 4 weeks. She said, 4 weeks? 4 weeks? And we had tiny kids, little kids. He said, "So how about us? Aren't you thinking about us, about the family?" I said, "Family?" Is it no food family will eat? And I knew the exchange rate of the naira to the pound sterling. I said, "Just leave me home." Remember, there was no GSM. There were no GSM phones in Nigeria then. That was the point. Once I was gone, I was gone. It was only in the spirit that we would be sending messages to each other. We didn't have any food in the house. That was what she was saying. So when they gave me the refuser, I went back to the house quietly. So how was it? So don't worry. The difference this time for the Trinidad and Tobago thing was that money was not the consideration. We were just going to add value. That's the difference. Turn the attention away from yourself. Turn it to other people. You'll be amazed what God will do. That's the purpose of the anointing. That's the purpose of the recharge. There's one that withholds more than is necessary. It results still in poverty. Things are still breaking down. Problems are still coming up. The roads are still blocked. So look at our country. Look at our city. Look at our environment. People have needs. People are breaking down. People are losing hope. People are being discouraged. The scientists are telling us depression is becoming the number one killer disease in our world right now. Young people are committing suicide. Teenagers, university students. Suicide? Suicide? For what? What have you seen? It's not an end. It looks like an end. It's not an end. It's just a bend. Approach it. Negotiate it. Once you turn the bend, the road will stretch far ahead of you again. It's just life. But who will tell them? How will they know if nobody says it? Will you be light for your generation? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Okay? Preach deliverance to those that are bound. That's why you are here. That's why we're here. There's something in you that this generation needs. You need to give it. You need to give it. Look for ways to add value. This country is so loaded with potential. So loaded. What's the purpose of the anointing? People are asking us all over the world now. Your country is littered with churches. How come it's not connecting? How come things are not changing in society? It's because of the theology. It's the theology that we were not taught that there was a connection. We were prepared for heaven. We were prepared for heaven. We were not taught there was a connection. The church pulled away from government. Satan occupied the space. Pulled away from the economy. Church pastors would lash business people. Preach the story of the rich man and Lazarus to them. When they died, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to hell. Be very careful. If you enjoy too much in this world, you will suffer on the other side. If you suffer very well here, you will enjoy on the other side. It's a lie. Some people will suffer here. They will suffer there. The church in Nigeria needs to lead the way to development. In him was life. John 1:4. And that life was the light of man, the improvement for man, the pathway. The church got to shape the values. That's why God is allowing the shaking. The church got to shape the values. I like to warn the church in Nigeria. In Europe, the values that laid the foundation for the Industrial Revolution were laid by the church. The value for hard, for work, the value for excellence, fidelity in financial matters. Don't owe somebody. You're a wicked person if you borrow and you don't return the money and all. That was what the church was teaching. I was in the Netherlands several years back. The Nigerian community invited me, close just around the time of Nigeria's independence. And we were discussing, and they said, look, that they dug into the history of the Netherlands. The Netherlands used to be called a praying nation, or the praying nation. Used to be known as the praying nation. And they said, from the information they gathered, when you were a church worker, church held you to some standards. If church leaders passed by your house and saw you did not trim the grass in your lawn, they suspended you from being a worker in church. They drove the values in hard from church. You know the only challenge? when Europe was ready for development, one, it broke the power of the elite class. That's the kind of structure we have now in Nigeria. Just a few people controlling the whole country and using political power to channel the economy to benefit themselves and those close to them. That's the structure. That was the structure Europe had. They smashed it. Destroyed the monarchy. Started from France. Okay? The only challenge, and which is what I'm driving at, the church. The church leadership was in cahoot with the monarchy. So Europe had to throw the church away to get the freedom to develop. But the values came from the church. And Nigeria is coming close to that point, where we cannot afford to side with those that impose structures that limit people, that frustrate their progress, that don't allow people to prosper or to create wealth. So this is the season is coming now where you will have to speak out. You will have to stand for something. You will have to start. So at the risk of losing your life, you will have to stand for something. Our master who laid the foundation for our faith laid down his own life to establish these values, to establish love as a value. We can't afford to have in Nigeria chicken-hearted Christians who just because they want to find a way to prosper are afraid to die. Where else will God find the people that will lead the pathway to development for this country? And you know what Jesus said? You try to keep your life, you will lose it. The one that is willing to lose it says the one that will find it. The only thing is that what you will find will be different from what you laid down. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to pick it up again. But what you pick up is not what you laid down. What you pick up is the much fruit dimension of your life. I'm here to prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ. It's amazing the way it happened for Saul in 1 Samuel 10 there. The people that thought they knew you before will realize they never knew you. I want to prepare someone here. Some of the dreams you are going to be getting in the next few months are going to be crazy. You know why? They will not fit into existing structures. And I need to prepare you. I need to listen. If you are coming to do exactly what the generation ahead of you did, it's a waste. It should be an improvement. It should be an improvement. This is the whole plan. And you have your part in it. So I just want to prepare you. Once those ideas are coming, you know, pay attention to them. Because we're going to have disruptions. Disruption. The disruption is happening in the church, right? Yes. It hit the political sector, hit the economy, hit. And it is the disruptions that will create the atmosphere for us to prosper and to move to the next level. So if God's anointed you as a disruptor, accept your calling. Say what nobody said before. If that's what is inspiring to say, as long as it's not contrary to his word, say it. Do what somebody never did before. How will we move from where you are to become a car manufacturer if you don't do major paradigm shifts? And there's somebody sitting here listening to me here. You'll be manufacturing cars. There are dimensions to our financial system that we can't even see now. But some people here will be joint owners of banks. Financial institutions. Some people here are going to hold positions in government. And what I'm talking about is not far ahead. It's not far ahead. It just depends on your own flexibility. And nobody puts new wine in old wine skin. Jesus said the new wine will burst it. God doesn't want to destroy you. He will give you what you have capacity to contain. And the problem with the old wine skin is that it has lost its flexibility. So when the new wine wants to move, it doesn't, so it bursts it. That's it. You have to don't grow old too soon. God still has things to do with you. Things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, things that have never entered into the heart of anybody before. Just know, as God gives you those crazy ideas, that you have someone praying for you somewhere. I'm on your side. Do those things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so we're going to pray. Is that okay? We're going to pray. Somebody's heaven is jumping somebody's battery here today. Did I hear you say amen? Everything is coming alive. All the provision that God made for you, all the relationships that God provided for you will be activated now. There are people you met 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Some you went to school with them. It was for a purpose. You've lost contact. When the time comes for the fulfillment of destiny, God activates those relationships. Joseph meets somebody in prison. It's for a purpose. When the time comes, the guy remembers. That's why I said, as I'm prophesying over you right now, there's someone here. Your name and your face will come up in somebody's mind. Somewhere. They will have to hold a board meeting somewhere on behalf of somebody here. Because of somebody here. This coming week, they will have to hold a meeting somewhere because of someone here. Because the time for destiny to be fulfilled has just come. That's all. It's amazing. I saw something and took steps immediately to act on it. I saw John Maxwell. Okay, one of those people who's been my mentor from afar, been reading his books. I saw that I should invite him to our training program. When I asked how much, and they said, But I got it by inspiration. And it worked out. And the interesting thing is, even though it was a business training program, what I saw was impartation. And I did not tell him that. It was business we discussed. But when he came, exactly the way I saw it, he did it. Exactly the way I saw it. It's amazing the way it works. So for someone here, you did not come here by accident today. Heaven organized your way. In 1 Samuel 9, 1 Samuel 10, you see the amazing thing that happened. Saul's father's donkeys were missing. The missing donkeys were for a reason. Yes. The donkeys were missing from Kish. Saul also was missing from his place of assignment. His job was in leadership. So whatever it is that is missed, that you are missing now, whatever it is that it is God's opportunity to push you in a direction, now you are here. So Samuel pours oil on Saul's head and said, is it not because God has anointed you as captain, commander over his people? Your anointing is to be a leader. And from here on, he says, the signs will begin to show. Things have changed. Oh, sorry. It happens that my own name is Samuel too. And God called me to groom stars. As we were taking that song, I mean, everything just came together. When he speaks, his breath forms the stars, forms billions of galaxies. I saw that too much. Too much. This is too much to be a coincidence. Because God is grooming stars here today. Woo! This place is for the making of stars. The destinies of families, the destinies of nations, the destinies of organizations are changing here now. The future is being set, fixed now.
Global Impact Church. Think greatness.